just to start.
Genesis 3. Let me run you through a series of verses here. You'll see, I think, what it's about. In Genesis 3, this is actually after Adam and Eve have fallen. Please take note of verse 8. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Down in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So he walked with God, he walked with God. Chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And then go all the way over to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 21. And in the context of New Jerusalem coming down, and of course the glory and all of the pearl gates and all the foundations and all the color, all those things, it says of that city, and the nations, verse 24, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, into that city. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer there. Father, now we've gathered together some things here that help us put together some thoughts. I pray that you might help this be a blessing to folks. And help me explain as best I can, Father, the reason for it. I just pray that you'll be with us, Lord, and may we get some inspiration from the simplicity of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I had a chance to finish my Bible again here this week, as I get a chance to do a few times a year. And, of course, coming through Revelation 21, I saw that verse where the nation shall walk in the light of New Jerusalem. And it just spurred a thought. It got my attention, like the Bible has a tendency to do. You know, some places you've read over it 1,000 times, and then bing, you know, there it is. And so I have something simple for you tonight. It's really, really simple, actually. You know how this goes, going through 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. We've been in 2 Thessalonians 2 for several weeks now because of the complexity of it. There's so many details, all those things. It's, as I said this morning, interwoven, interlaced, layered, and everything else. And yet at the same time, all of that complexity is built around simplicity. And so it's precept upon precept, line upon line. You all know that very well. And so in the middle of complex things, and sometimes in the middle of your Christian life, when, you know, it seems like you're all in a tangle and things are all, you know, discombobulated and intertangled, like, you know, Velcro stuck together. Once in a while, it's a kind of a blessing to see something in the Bible that helps you kind of back off to the 10,000-foot view and kind of get the big picture. And that's really what this is about here. It says in those several places we mentioned, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 passages, four of them, in the very front of the Bible, the one in the very last of the Bible. Those first four passages are the first four passages where the word walk is used. And Revelation 21:24 is the last verse that the word walk is used. And Revelation 21 says that the nations one day, when all this thing wraps up, New Jerusalem, four square, 1,500 miles square, is going to come down, and that the nations are going to walk in the light of it. Now, walk in the light of it. And then you look and you see that it was God walked The voice of God walked through the garden. And then you read where Enoch walked with God twice. And you read where Noah walked with God. And, you know, between those bookends of Genesis 3:8, God, the voice of God walking through the garden. And then the other end of the book, you know, with Revelation 21:24, where, you know, the nations shall walk in the light of it. There's 411 other times that people walk. Now, some of those people are walking, it's like a narrative, so-and-so walked here or walked there, but so many other of them are admonitions about, you know, how to walk. Included in that, of course, is how we are supposed to walk all the way here in the church age, and I'll just give you a quick sampling of those. We're to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let us walk honestly as in the day. You can do that if you really press it. As the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're in good works that we should walk in them. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Over and over again, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk, walk, walk. You ought to walk to please God, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without. We're supposed to walk in truth. And so, you know, there's this just the emphasis on walking. And like I said, you go to the Bible and, you know, you struggle with your spiritual life sometimes and you're in the middle of it all and you're fighting this fight, trying to do these things right. And once in a while, you kind of forget that sometimes you should just back off. And the Bible says so often, just walk. Most people can walk. So just walk. You know, the Lord once in a while backs off this relationship with you being his son and him being your father. You know, it's just there's entanglements there. There's complications. And then you remember that God gave you kids for a reason. Or that you're somebody else's kid for a reason. And it's really as simple as just having a mother-father relationship. And you're supposed to, you know, love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You're supposed to love him as a bride would love her bridegroom. And then you remember that the Lord gave you one, most of you, either a bridegroom or a bride, and that he actually gave you that for instruction so that, you know, when you get entangled spiritually, you can take a step back and breathe and say, well, I'm already doing this in my physical life. So it can't be that hard. And then you get to, you know, this issue of walking with God. And I know Noah and Enoch walked with God. I know that there have been long series of sermons, complicated, you know, involved, detailed about what all that walk might entail. And yet, in the end, it's as simple as just walking. So I'm coming at it from that perspective here. I'm coming at it from the perspective. If you've been called to walk, well, so walk. So walk. It's a doable thing is what I'm saying. It's achievable. I know that Noah and Enoch were the only two that were said to walk with God, but nevertheless, it is not out of reach. It is not insurmountable. And so just with the thought of he said walk, so walk. First of all, I'd like to say it's a familiar movement. It's normal for most people to walk. I know there's some folks that can't walk. But for the vast, vast majority of people, it's a normal movement. It's normal for people to walk. It's not abnormal. It's not something, boy, I just don't know how to do that. I know a little baby has to crawl first, and it takes, you know, a year or so before they get in a position coordinated enough and strong enough to be able to walk properly, and then they pick it up real fast and they just one day walk off. So it's not like a brainiac thing. It should be a simple, normal thing. And so secondly, I'd like to say it is the pace that's found in the Bible. It's a familiar movement. We walk all the time. Your kids walk all the time. And I know that kids run and all that kind of stuff and don't run in the house and all those sort of things, but it's a normal pace. It's the normal pace found in the Bible. God's voice was walking through the garden in the cool of the day. He wasn't zooming. He wasn't zipping. He wasn't diving like a peregrine falcon at 200 miles an hour. He was walking. When you find Noah and you find Enoch, they were walking. So often you find Jesus Christ walking, not zooming on a motorcycle, not sprinting, not running, walking. 400 plus times, it is the normal pace in the Bible that folks should walk. Yes, the Lord on a cherubim does fly one day. Yes, he crawls astride a white horse and comes back. Yes, he descends from heaven with a shout. Yes, he was transported through a closed door one time. But that's not how he lived his life in general. He walked everywhere or got on a boat, amen? So walking is normal. He said in Luke 13, I must walk today, not swoop, not sprint. He said, I must walk today and tomorrow, right? My simple point is that it's a familiar movement. Folks, even the devil walks. He walketh about, seeking him he may devour. It's the normal pace of the Bible. I do know, yes, we are to run with patience the race. That is a definitive illustration, but I think there are only 6 or 7 verses in the New Testament that urge you to run anywhere where the word is even used. If it's anything is the case, walking is the pace of the Bible. He said to follow me, and he didn't zoom off on a motorcycle. He didn't trot. He didn't run. He didn't sprint. He walked, and he expects you to walk after him. It's the pace of the Bible. Over and over again, I read you the verses, we are called to walk. And under the idea that it's a familiar movement, I'd also like to say that you did fine with it when you were in the world. I don't know if you ever put that together or not, but we walked in the sins of our fathers. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You walked fine after the flesh. You didn't need special instructions. You did just fine walking when you were lost in the world. Now, I understand it's a different walk, but I'm just saying that walking is the normal pace. Even in sin, walking is the normal pace. We walked in our own ways. We walked in the counsel of the wicked. We walked in the way of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness after our own lusts. We walked in the counsel of the ungodly, in the vanity of our minds. So this is a familiar thing. You did just fine when you were in the world. So there's no reason for you to freak out when the Lord says, why don't you walk with me? Now granted, it's different. We walk not in darkness anymore, but we walk in light. But you should be able to do that. That is, it's achievable. It's viable. It's not like this is a foreign thing. Now if you were asked to swim, if they asked me to swim somewhere, I'm probably not going. I hate swimming. Especially when I have to. But it was natural for you to do so. It is a familiar movement. It's the same movement as when you were in the world, only it's directed different. So I just want to say, you know, if you look at, you know, Enoch walking with God and you go, oh boy, I don't know if I can do that. Well, why not? Why couldn't you? If you've been given even more advantages than him, why shouldn't you be able to walk? It's normal. It's a familiar pace. You did fine with it when you were walking in the flesh according to the prince of the power of the air. You didn't ask for instruction. There wasn't a special class. You didn't have to get discipled into that. And so it's a familiar movement. I'd like to say, secondly, it's a forward movement. And yes, I know that people walk backwards sometimes. I know that they'll tell you, you know, that it's good for just once in a while to go out and walk backwards for a mile. But you were made to walk forward. Anatomically, physiologically, you were made to walk forward. All of your senses are in front so you can see where you're going. It doesn't work the same from behind. You can't turn your head 180 degrees. And so it's a forward movement. And as a forward movement, ladies and gentlemen, it's progressive. You're supposed to get somewhere. I'd just like you to think about that as you're called to walk with God. And he says the light, even up in eternity, near eternity, the nations walk in the light of that city. And even then they'll be walking. All the way back in the garden when God had everything in perfection, men were called to walk. Because God walked through, his voice walked through the garden in the cool of the day. This is a forward movement. It's progressive. It's supposed to get you somewhere. It's not backsliding. It's progressive. I read where Shem and Japheth walked backwards to cover their father. But that was a bad thing, right? I read where Eli fell backwards and killed himself, broke his neck. And that's a bad thing. I read along those lines, it's kind of a temptation to get off on the side with this, but, you know, it's precept upon precept, Isaiah 28, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But he said that Israel won't do that. And so for them, it's precept upon precept, line upon line, and they're going to fall backwards and be broken. They're going to fall backward because they won't build line upon line, precept upon precept. And so there's something doctrinal involved with going forward. People are also in battle in the Bible, driven backwards in battle. But walking is a forward movement. You're supposed to get somewhere. Sometimes I know how you feel. I know sometimes you feel like you're spinning your wheels when you fail again and you just keep kind of grinding it out and you just seem not to get anywhere. I want to say walking with God is not spinning your wheels. You may not get as far as fast as you want to, but it's not spinning your wheels. It's not wasted time. You're not wasting your time. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You don't have to get there fast. Walking is not always fast. It is purposeful. It's progressive. It's purposeful. Now you have a calling. When you were lost walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, when you're walking according to your flesh, that's not a purpose at all. Now, you thought you had a purpose. You were going to be the first chubby white guy to make the NBA or something like that. And you didn't and you couldn't and all those sort of things. You thought that was a real purpose. That's what you were running your life around, and that really wasn't a purpose. So for the first time, when you're saved, you have a real purpose in life. And the pace that the Lord sets for you is to walk. It's a forward movement. You do not have that purpose when you're lost. You may not the world may not appreciate this, and they may not understand this, but you are not spinning your wheels by coming and getting preaching and just living life day to day, just trying to grow, just trying to make some progress. Walking is a forward movement. You're called to walk. So walk. You're not called, there are specific instructions, but there's a case or two where you're called to run. But in general, you're called to walk. You're never told to sprint. You're never told to fly. I want to say it's a forward movement. It's a familiar movement. It is a gradual movement. When compared to horses and cheetahs, it's a gradual movement. When compared to a diving peregrine falcon, 200 miles an hour, the fastest living biological creature on earth, diving at 200 miles per hour, that's not what you're called to do. When compared to that, walking is very slow. It's very gradual. When you compare your race to a greyhound running, it is gradual. I'll grant you that. Your tendency will always be probably to haste. There's probably two mistakes. One is just slothfulness, and one is haste. And once you get right with the Lord, you have a feeling, of course, that you need to catch up because you fell behind. I fell behind in my Christian life, you know, the better part of 10 years or more. And so I had this urge to haste, you know, to catch up with the column. And you can't always do that because the pace that the Lord sets is to walk. He says, walk with me. He says, follow me. And he doesn't go jogging off. He doesn't go sprinting off. He walks off. So follow him. You're called to walk. It's a gradual movement. God walks. Christ walked. Paul walked. The devil walks. You're urged over and over again to walk. You're called to walk. You can only walk so fast. You know, they have the race walkers, and they all look like dorks. There's way too much hip swing in there. And you can only walk so fast before, you know, you start lifting both feet, you're off the ground some. And once you do that, you're not walking anymore, you're running. And so that heel-toe thing, swinging your hips and stuff, you can still only walk so fast. But you're called to walk. Walking is the pace that God set. When I read Daniel 12, it says in the latter days that men will run to and fro. So if there's a issue, I mean, you should go forward every day. You should make progress every day, like we said. But what you probably need to do is slow down more than you need to speed up. Your tendency will be to want to correct your mistakes immediately and jump forward, make quick progress, and you can't do that. You're called to walk. It's a gradual movement. There's a deliberate pace. There are almost no New Testament verses on running. There are a couple, and those represent, you know, specific things. But as far as the general Christian walk, you're called just that. You're called to walk. There are very few New Testament verses that urge you to go faster. Speed up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Where are those verses? There's just a handful you might turn to. But in general, in the main, you're not called to go, 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 like that. Hurry up. Do it now. Speed up. You're just not. You're called to walk. You're supposed to approach this with deliberation, where day by day and week by week and then month by month, you're walking. You're making progress. You ever think about the fact that here is Jesus Christ, comes to this earth, and you know, he has the capability of doing anything he wants to. And he can call on angels to come preach the gospel and cover a lot more ground. Instead, he's tooling around Galilee and Judea, you know, walking, getting on a boat once in a while, sitting around at wells talking to ladies, sitting around at campfires and talking to people, climbing a mount, and there's a bunch of people that show up and they want to hear him say something, and he does that. And somehow, by the time he's done and dies and is resurrected from the dead, they turn the world upside down. No cell phones, no telephones, no social media. None of those things. Angels aren't preaching from on high where great, vast multitudes can hear. He is doing it walking around. And, you know, up in this day and age when we have so much and we speed around and I get in my car and I can drive 80 miles an hour up Highway 10 almost, you know, home, and all those things, I'm still called to walk with God. It's a deliberate pace. It is an intentional pace. You're not called to hurry, 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 now, hurry up, hurry, catch up, come on, come on. You don't find verses really like that. It's a deliberate pace. You're called to walk with the Lord. You can only go so fast, and you have to do what you do deliberately. Prayer, you've experienced it. Boy, I only have 5 minutes to pray. I got to jam a lot in. Okay, well, you do that very long, and you're not going to get much praying done because it's a deliberation. If you're going to read your Bible and you say, okay, I got to read 3 chapters in 7 minutes, you're getting nothing. You're getting nothing. You need time to sit down and digest. You need time to get on your face and confess, praise God some, take your needs before Him, and make sure your heart is right in the midst. I probably pause 3 or 4 times during every prayer session for me and say, Lord, I'm just a wicked sinner. Just please wash me in the blood. Because since I said that, 5 minutes ago, I've already sinned since then. I'm in prayer. This walking is a very deliberate thing. It's a very intentional pace. And I think it's worth just pulling back to the 10,000 foot, altitude and picture, and just remember that what you're called to do is walk. You're not called to sprint. You're not called to bust a gut and try to deadlift 600 pounds spiritually. You're called to walk. You're not called to run a 100-yard dash and whatever the world record is. And for that matter, while we all often say that the Christian life is a distance race, you're really not called to go run 5 miles. You're called to walk. Over and over, 400 plus times, walk. Your first example, God was walking. Your last example, all the way up in eternity, the nations walk in the light of that city. So I just say, you can't speed the growth of a tree. Okay, you can fertilize it. I get that. But in the end, you take an oak. What does it say? Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, right? And you can't speed the growth of a tree. I mean, every year, even, at its worst, at its best, there's going to be an incremental growth in those rings, and the tree is just going to get a tiny bit bigger around and somewhat taller. And nothing speeds it up significantly. An oak tree does not grow into a 2-foot oak in 6 weeks. And you cannot grow as a Christian that fast. You have to walk. The Bible, over and over again, walk, walk, walk circumspectly, walk honestly. We walk by faith and not by sight. Over and over, walk, walk, walk. So the 10,000-foot view, quit hasting, quit trying to do so much. Walk. That's the Lord's pace. That's the pace He set. It's a familiar movement. It's a forward movement. It's a gradual movement. I want to say it's a coordinated movement. It is simple enough. It is natural enough. Little babies pick it up on their own. They don't have to go to classes. You don't have to get on your hands and knees and show them how. They will gradually crawl. They drag themselves for a while, then they start crawling, and they'll gradually pull themselves up, and one day they'll just walk away from the chair. And hopefully you're there to take the picture. Okay, you're pretty cute. Hopefully you're there for it, but they're going to do it with you or without you, because it is natural. It's a coordinated movement, I'll grant you that. And it's so natural that after you start walking, you hardly even think about it. But still, it is rather involved, and I say that to say that, it engages lots of parts and systems. Stop and think about just walking, and maybe you never experienced it. I had the stroke, and so I had to learn to walk again. So you become conscious that, there's more to this than I really realize. It's simple, but it's coordinated. And so you have balance and counterbalance, and you have movement and counter movement. In physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So whatever your muscles do, another muscle has to, meet that movement and counter that movement so you don't go all wonky. You have this inner ear, and it has the fluid in there, and there's little tiny hair cilia. And if that goes wonky, you get an ear infection. You can't even walk. You're running into walls and stuff. So all this water and this little horn in your ear with these hairs that tell your brain, you know, you gotta shift, you gotta adjust. That all has to be right, or nothing's going right. Your sensory system has to get it. Flexion, extension. You have hip flexors. You have your core. You have your spinal erectors, and all those things have to work somehow in complex process with your brain processing all these things and handling the movement of it all. But it's a coordinated movement. It's more complex than it looks, and yet at the same time, everybody does it. It's pretty simple. It's a miraculous feat of engineering that you can get up on two sticks, and two of those sticks are joined together by rubber bands, and that you can walk and jump and skip rope and that kind of stuff. But it's a very coordinated thing. It's a miracle of God. Is it not miraculous that God calls us to walk with Him spiritually? It's simple. But there are lots of moving parts. I mean, there is faith. There is feeding yourself the Bible. There is prayer. There is honesty. There is sincerity. There is a heartfelt part of it. But it's the pace that I'm more concerned about. It's a profitable thing. You know, they say that walking is so profitable, it's one of the best forms of exercises. You know, if you're, you know, Lonnie Hazard can run forever. Of course, he's about this big around, too. He's a twig. Brother Stevens gets out and runs, and things break down real fast. Because 220, 240-pound guys cannot have a long career as distance runners. And so they tell you that, you know, walking is one of the best things you can ever do, because actually it while you're not going to look like a bodybuilder doing it, you have so many muscular systems and nervous systems that are at work in it that it's one of the healthiest overall things you can ever do. It's very profitable. And so I just want to say that it's a miracle that God has called us sinners to walk with Him, that we can even do it, and it ought to be something that you desire to do. It is a familiar movement. It is a forward movement. It is a gradual movement. You can only grow so fast and profit from it. It is a coordinated movement. I would like to say, lastly, if you'll turn to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. See if you can find Amos 3. Amos chapter 3. And I know you know what I'm going to read. Chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, Noah walked with God and Enoch walked with God. And so one of the most important things that you can do is agree with Him. It's a coordinated, it's a cooperative movement. That is, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to cooperate with Him. You're going to have to agree with Him. Now, Jesus said, follow Me. And so you're supposed to fall in behind Him, agree with Him. You fall in behind Him and walk at His pace. And you don't go, hurry up! That would be a bad move. And when you're walking with God, you don't get out in front and say, come on, Lord! You're going to get way out in front of yourself. Amen? You know, in Isaiah, I believe it's 41, the Lord, now He's talking to Israel here, but I'm taking a practical devotional application to it. He says, I will hold thee by thy right hand. Now, most men are right-handed. And so He's going to hold me by my right hand while I walk with Him. That means that He's going to have me doing stuff with my left hand, my weak hand, something that's not normal, something that's not natural. But I have to agree with Him to do that. I have to let Him lead me, right? And so He's going to do some stuff where you have to use strengths, and you're going to have to try to be coordinated in ways that you're not normally coordinated, because most men and most women are right-handed. So He's holding you by your right hand. So he's taken your strong hand. You know, if I'm going to crochet, I'm going to do it with my left, my right hand. Because it's my most... you were supposed to laugh at crochet. I type much better with my right hand than my left because the left got messed up with the stroke. And so strength-wise, dexterity-wise, I'm much better with my right hand. So if he's going to take my right hand, I'm going to be doing stuff not as good as I could do it with my left. But he's holding my right. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is it's a cooperative movement. You can't do it with, you've got to walk with the Lord. You can't run in front. And you can't push from behind. And you're going to have to, if he wants to take your hand, you're going to have to let him take your hand. But it's a coordinated movement. Walk with God. Can two walk together except they agree, be agreed? In our society today, the one thing that people do is they don't agree with God. If there's a failure across, I'm talking about all peoples, and across Christianity in the mainstream, they don't agree with God because they don't even believe that God spoke to them in specific. Been trained out of thinking that God has spoken to me in specific, meaningful words. Every time I hear God speak, they think I have to go find out what he really meant by somebody that trained for a long time to know what God really meant when he said. Okay, this is not going to work. You are not walking with God. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if I can't have faith that God is able to give me words that he wanted me to have, then I am nowhere. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a familiar movement. You're familiar with it. It's a forward movement. You're supposed to make progress in it. It is a gradual movement. The pace of the Bible is walking. Occasionally somebody runs. Occasionally somebody leaps. But in the main, over and over again, 400 times, we're including God here. We're including Jesus Christ here. We're including Paul here. We're including the devil here. Even the devil's pace is to walk. So you're going to have to walk. It's gradual. And that means it needs to have direction, determination. It's a deliberation. You have to think about what you're doing, and it's not something you just, you know, just pick up and do naturally. It's going to take, you have to think about what you're doing. I'll just say, when I had my stroke, one of the things that I saw real quick was, okay, the left side is goofy. And so even after I'm home and even after I'm driving myself around and all that kind of stuff, you know, I would walk up to the kitchen counter with a glass of water in my left hand and set it down, and then when I turned to walk away, I would pull it off with me. Because I learned that for my left side, I had to say, set it down, turn it loose, move away. I literally had to think that way, because it's not natural anymore. And so there are some things where, well, you know, walking with the Lord, you have to deliberately do some things until they do become, if anything, more natural. And maybe they won't ever be totally natural. You have to deliberate. You have to think about it. But it's a coordinated movement. It's a cooperative movement. You're supposed to walk with God. You're supposed to follow Jesus Christ. So you move at his pace. You don't shove. Sometimes he wants to grab you by the right hand, which is your strong hand. And you're going to have to agree with him to be weak in something else. Maybe he's trying to make the other side better. But back off to the 10,000 foot altitude and just remember, you're just supposed to walk. It's just walking. Now, it's miraculous, but it's just walking. And almost everybody walks. So it's accessible. It's viable. Everyone that's sitting here tonight can do it, if you will. Amen? So let's have a word of prayer. Father,